Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're probably going to take a few minutes throughout the day to just highlight the fact that if you don't know it, this is our 10th anniversary day in Kenton, Ohio. The date was actually yesterday, February the 6th, 2011. We had our first Sunday morning service in Kenton, Ohio, and I'll tell you what, God was faithful and was amazing and did all kinds of things. I got to tell you that on that Sunday morning, I had a great morning because some people came in and they were crying. And I said, what's wrong? This is a day of celebration. And they said, well, Pastor Phil, we're just upset because the KKK is having a rally in Ridgeway, Ohio. And I said, well, thank God they moved from Kenton to Ridgeway and we get to celebrate here. Amen. But I just, Yeah, I was about to say, the city of Kenton said not here. And so we were just thankful. And so praise God. I thank God that nothing can separate us from his love or from his opportunity. Amen. And I'm just really rejoicing in the hundreds and literally thousands of lives that have been changed and touched, even in other countries, since we've been here. And so we're just thankful for what God has done and what God will do. And I thank God for every one of you this morning. So let's just step into a time of worshiping the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Will stand your feet with us this morning.
I'm Yeah. faith in God, and I've been praying, and I've really got faith in God. He'll take the cancer out of my left lung, and everything will be cleaned out. I've got that much faith in God. So I just pray for me. And I really do have faith in God. He'll get this cancer out of my left lung.
Amen. 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 It's funny. It's not funny. That's not funny. That's not what we're saying. But what is interesting is that we were talking as a worship team before service. And I hate when God makes me be so vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable you today. Because I think there's people that don't understand that other people go through it. Doesn't matter if who you are. You can be a pastor, obviously, because I'm going to just let you in on it. This weekend's not been a good weekend for me. I've been praying. I was reaching out to some people that I know just had issues. And as I'm doing it, I just get this thought is, Lord, other than I'm praying for them and I'm lifting them up and I believe that you're working in their situation, and I do. With everything in me, I do. I don't know what else to say. And I felt inadequate. And then all of a sudden, every negative thing that everybody has said to me through these 10 years we've been here about who I'm not or what I'm not or how mean I am or however the words were, flooded me so fast. It was unexpected. I wasn't ready for it. And I'm telling you, it came at me like a tsunami. And I was caught off guard. And Phil don't even know this. I'm sitting on the couch and we're watching a Hallmark movie. And I'm just over there bawling because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this moment. Anxiety just crushed me for a minute. And I started praying. Because I know I've been in this walk long enough that when something like that comes, it's the enemy coming in. Listen, we're celebrating 10 years today. He couldn't stop us then. He couldn't stop us from getting to this point, and he's not stopping us from going forward. Amen? But as much as I know all of that, I'm telling you, this was real. I've never had an anxiety attack in my life. And I did last night. And I'm sorry for all of you that have to deal with that. This is how I combated it. Phil, I'm going to bed. Because I can't sit here and do this right now. And then I went into the bed and I'm just praying. I'm just thinking. I'm just meditating. I get in the Word. God takes me to Isaiah 53. And it says, awake, O captive daughter of Zion. It basically says, stand up and shake the dust off of you no longer. Shall the enemy hold you captive anymore? So I'm excited, but I'm still crying. I'm just in there crying, and I know that God's given me victory. Listen, I know that God's given me victory. He has brought me out of too much to not know that whatever we face, he's got me. And I'm telling you, from a person who knows that, that anxiety didn't leave. And this is what I said next. So I tried to fight it on my own, right? I said, Phil, I need you to come in here and come to bed right now. I need you to rub on my back. I need you to do whatever it takes to calm me down. I need you to pray over me. I just need peace right now. So some of us, we fight it and we fight it. And I couldn't fight that alone. I needed somebody. Quit being alone. You got people that you can reach out to. Sometimes your pride don't let you because we think we can handle everything by ourselves. Let me tell you what, I couldn't handle that last night. I'd be still in bed today, curled up in a ball, had I not had Phil come in there and pray over me. I haven't slept in nights. I don't know how many nights. I get maybe a 3-hour nap during in the morning when I finally can fall asleep, but I haven't slept in I don't know how many nights. And I slept good last night. Amen. And so I want you to know that even now as we speak, even now as we're praising, I feel it in my natural body. I still feel that anxiety right there. I'm just telling you, as a realness, but it's gone in the name of Jesus, because my faith says that God is my healer. And you don't see me sitting down not praising God, because why? Because the answer to your battle is your praise. The answer to your battle is not sitting down in the midst of it, no matter how you feel. God is not moved by feelings. If I would have sat in that bed all night and cried my eyes out, my situation wouldn't have changed. Why? Because God is not moved by feelings. God is moved by faith. He's moved by praise. So I'm telling you today, as many of us, and I'm not going to tell her story, but Holly's had a bad weekend too. But you know what? We're up here.
Amen.
And we're praising him, and nothing's going to take our praise. Nothing is, there's no rock. I said it this morning, no rock will shout in my place. God has been good to me. God has been so good to me. And this attack of the enemy is going to go by the wayside, just like every other attack that I've ever faced and that God has always brought me out of. Amen? Amen. So let's stand up today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, and you say, Pastor Jeannie, you just don't understand. I may not completely understand your situation, but I'll tell you what I do understand, that my God is your answer. Amen. So let's praise him this morning. Let's worship him this morning. Let's not come in here like another church service. There are people that need healing. There are people that need miracles. There are people that may be standing next to you. There are people that are watching online. They need our voices lifted. They need the presence of God to fall. They need the anointing to come and break every chain, break every yoke, heal every disease. Amen.
Be calmed and broken for my recall. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well.
God anyway. But do you know when that song was written? It is well was written after Spoonforth, however you say his name, crossed over the exact spot that he lost his children. And he said, it is well with my soul. Understand, this man had already lost his business in a fire. He'd already lost his son to sickness. And he sent his children on a boat to visit America. And his children died in a boat accident or a ship accident. And he got word and he crossed over. And as he crossed over the exact spot, these words came to him. And he said, it is well with my soul. So it doesn't matter the situation that you find yourself in this morning. It doesn't have to be tragic like that. But it is well with my soul. What is in here? The Bible says that God looks at our heart this morning. So is it well with you? Regardless of where you stand, how well is your soul this morning? It is well, sing it as well, and it is well. We oh,
tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
She had went through in her past and how she had grace through it all, and that she's seen God through it all because of coming out to the other side. And then she said that she had a bulldog mentality, and that is what we need, is we need a bulldog mentality to get through these things. We have a choice to sit in our emotions. I've had a season of torment, emotionally season of torment the past few months, and I chose to sit in it until I heard the voice say, you can choose to sit here and continue to drown yourself in it, or you can stand up and you can put your hands up and you can give me a high five and let's go.
When you walk into the room, sickness starts.
We're going to sing it until you believe it.
Hopeless situation. It ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation. It ceases to exist when you walk into the room.
You believe it?
Sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation. It ceases to exist. And when you we'll never stop, can't live without.
can't get enough. All this is for you.
Oh, Jesus. We lift our voices to you, Lord Jesus.
We love you and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
We're gonna sing one more time.
We love you and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Every helpless situation ceases to exist. Amen.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes.
My goodness. Hallelujah. Our God is a faithful, powerful, loving God. Amen.
Yes.
He changes us. He transforms us. He helps us in every situation we have going on in life. Amen. And I want you to know that our God is not in the business of backing up or changing. Amen? Woo! I tell you what, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And we have a lot to be excited about and look forward to. Amen? I want you to know something. Our God is a good, powerful God. Amen? And we're going to preach today, and then, Bob, we're going to highlight by praying for you at the end of this service. Amen? And I tell you what, I was just excited because when we talk about the name of Jesus, amen?
Amen.
It is the name above every name. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Now, well, we're going to start out with the video. Make sure the volume's up on that for us, please, there, Trey.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Praise God. Obviously, I'm Pastor Phil, and I'm excited to be talking with you right now because, as you can see, we're right here in the sanctuary of Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. What we're excited about is coming up on February 7th, it is going to mark our 10th year anniversary of being right here in Kenton, Ohio.
Right here.
And what's going to happen is, obviously, on Sunday morning, we're going to have a great worship time at 10 o'clock celebrating our 10-year anniversary. But then what I'm really excited about also is at 6 p.m. on Sunday night, February 7th, Pastor Peter Dosick, who is the apostle of our church right here, is going to be with us for a celebration service and a miracle service on February 7th at 6 p.m. Join us right here at Only Believe in Kenton, Ohio. Praise the Lord.
Right here. In case you missed it, it's right here. Okay? In case you missed it, it's right here.
Whoa, praise God.
You know what?
God.
That's my favorite video ever.
Come on now.
Logan, who just graduated from college on Friday. Listen, I think God is good.
Amen. Amen.
Full-time job, full-time family, four kids. The amazing support of his wife.
Amen. Praise
He's on this
God.
Worship team, and we demand a lot from him.
Amen.
And full-time student.
Amen.
And he did it. Amen?
Amen.
He made that video.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
He made that video. He put that music to it and wrote that music just for that video.
Yeah. It's part of what he went school for. So it's a blessing to see that rising up right here.
Somebody said, you bragging on Logan? No, I'm bragging on God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm bragging on God, and I'm bragging on Logan's faithfulness to
Amen.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you allow God to take over your life and bring you into this place. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are excited because tonight at 6 p.m. we are going to have our celebration 10th anniversary service. Amen. We're excited about that. And, you know, someone even said to me, I can't believe that you're going to have an evening service on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
And I said, well, I can't believe that we were bold enough to start the church on Super Bowl Sunday and believe that people would come. And we had a Sunday evening service, and people poured out that first service and blessed the name of the Lord. And, you know, you'll have plenty of Super Bowl time after we celebrate.
Amen.
At 6 o'clock. Amen? So we're just going to go ahead and just believe God. Amen?
Amen. Don't forget, we have the XO Marriage Conference coming this Friday night. We're going to start here at 8 o'clock. There's going to be some snacks. And then it's 10 on Saturday morning. If you've not signed up, sign up just to make sure we have enough snacks and stuff to go around.
Honey, I feel by faith you're going to hold my hand in everything.
Okay, that's a good point. I don't mind holding his hand. He's not getting a kiss in the service. But I will tell you this. I'm going to warn you. Don't not come because of this, because you don't have to participate in it if you don't want to. Some people are okay with it. Some people are not okay with it. At the end of the video on the second day, they do a vow renewal. They call it vow renewal service. So I don't want it to throw you off guard. It threw some people off guard last year, mainly me. I said I do once. Is it necessary to say again?
Boy, you had faith to do it one time.
Amen. How do you muster up? No, no, I'm just kidding. I probably need the marriage seminar, right?
I'm glad we only have to do it once, because you can't get away now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
No, neither can you.
Amen.
Well, there is one way.
No.
I got a backhoe and an alibi. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's not my fault. It's those people from North Carolina. They say things in front of me, just joking around, and then I just take it and run with it.
Yes,
so they need to stop
Amen.
Doing that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I
Amen.
Love you,
Pastor
all of our
Sandy Outlaw
family
all
from North Carolina. Amen. Yeah, they watch Amen. This sometimes. So,
Amen.
But okay, so we've got that going on. And some of you know that we didn't go on our vacation.
What?
Because somebody in our family tested positive for corona, and we had to quarantine.
Ooh.
And it ruined my vacation. And I blame Phil for taking
I'm
me someplace.
I'm still alive, so you know it wasn't me.
Yeah, wasn't him. And we really, I'll be honest, I mean, I stayed home quarantined because I think that's the right thing to do.
Yes.
You don't get a positive result and then go running around thinking it's false positive, even if it is. You stay home and you do what you're supposed to do and love
Amen.
Those that are out there. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we did. We stayed, even him, and he had not one symptom, still to this day, not one thing he's had.
I was the same old crazy guy that you get right now. Amen? When I'm sick, I'm like a big baby. Praise God. I need taken care of.
You know it's bad when your son is so in agreement with you.
Amen. Stop that right now.
Amen.
So thank God I really didn't get any symptoms, because, man, I can't take a toenail. Let
so Nicole Waters wasn't with you that Sunday because she was around me, and she had to quarantine until she got her test, and she got her test, and she was fine, so no symptoms and stuff. So we didn't take our trip, so we're taking our trip on the 20th, so we're going to have some people in coming up, and just to prepare you for that, and we're excited. And
you know what's wrong about all this? I have to retake the test.
I don't.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
No, you guys have no idea.
Let me tell you
this
something.
This man is a grown man, is he not? Where's the chair?
Ooh.
Give me a chair. Okay, so he watches them do me, and I'm like, get mine over first.
I said, honey, do yours first.
He hates needles, right? So this is your man of faith and power.
Ooh.
He leans back so they can stick it up in the nose. The whole time. They ain't even touching him yet.
It's terrible. It is terrible. That should be outlawed, what they
I'm
did to me.
You.
Oh, my God. Praise God.
It was worth all that for nothing else.
Horrible.
It was worth all that.
So here's the thing. Because she tested Nick,
positive.
Because she went through it, now she doesn't have to take a test for the next 90 days. She's just
weeks.
As clear as a bird and
good.
Clear as a bell. And because my health was there and because I didn't test positive, what? Are you kidding me? I have to be punished and take this goofy test again. Oh, my God. It is terrible. So you guys keep me up in prayer that I will get through this thing. I mean, it should be illegal for people to stick foreign substances up your schnozola. It should just be wrong. It's just wrong. I mean, there's no way, Miss Linda, that I should ever come up to you and say, I am going to stick something up your nose. Oh, it is terrible. But anyhow, I survived once. I believe I will survive again. And before we let the kids out of here, I think that they have a few words to us on our celebration 10th anniversary. I think they have a few things to tell us before they go to class. Amen?
Amen. All right. Can my courageous volunteers please come forward?
Amen.
Come on. Come up here. Just Liz, Zeke, and I guess Kedril is coming up in faith.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we've had children's church since day one. Amen. And it's been a journey of faith because that was my first day in children's church too. Hallelujah. But these kids are... It's been the pleasure and the honor of our lifetime to be able to minister to your kids, and they're such a blessing. And so we want them to share just a few quick sentences of what they've experienced in children's church, what it means to them, what's fun to them, what God's done. So we're going to start with Mr. Zeke. I'll keep a hold of the mic so you don't have the pressure of holding the mic and all that stuff, and so you can't try to hide it. So here goes, Zeke. Just share about children's church to your church.
So we're doing this... Yeah, we're doing this series called Pixel Party, and they're little tiny squares that can form a big picture.
And that helps us to see the big picture of God's love, right? And how we have a part to play in that with other people too, right? Amen. All right, good job, Zeke. Okay, and since I was nice to Liz, I know most of the time we let ladies go first, but I'm sure she was willing to let another guy go before her today. So Liz, why don't you share a few things from your heart?
And... Children's church, we've learned about a lot of Bible stories and things that God can do for other people, just like he can do with us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, I'm glad that she said we learn a lot of Bible stories, because we do, and how we can use those things in everyday life. Kedril, you got something to say? You always have something to say, don't you?
Being good and singing songs.
Hey, man, being good. I like that.
Praise God. Have a
We're going to make sure that starts to happen.
Amen.
I'm just kidding.
We are speaking faith. That's
right. Okay, Casey, finish us off, buddy.
In children's church, we...
You got this, buddy. Okay, tell me your favorite children's church event. Is it Vacation Bible School? You got something fun that you liked about Vacation Bible School that really stands out? Okay, just say, I love VBS.
VPS.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, we got that confirmed. Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
Praise God.
Okay, give your children's church and their workers a round of applause.
Amen, amen. You know,
technically, Zeke was here.
Amen.
For the full 10 years, he was in her belly for the first part.
Amen.
Of
Amen.
The 10 years, yeah?
Amen. No, but I really wanted those children to come up here because it represents a part of why we're in church. Amen? Because this is a part of how we get to raise our children, protect our children, and put some the things of God in them. And I love it because I look at those babies and I remember where they were, like little Zeke. Before he was even out here. And now I look at where they are and praise God. I just thank God for his goodness. Amen?
Yeah, Linda only had three children when we started.
we're gonna need that mic again.
Okay.
Because we're about to do offering. Amen? Praise God.
So, this was actually supposed to be a few months ago. And, you know, I was just told to be prepared. So first, I just want to say thank you because obviously pastors were a huge support role as far as, you know, going through some of the stuff that we've been through in the last handful of years. So I just want to say thank you to them and respect to our 10-year celebration. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be up here because whether I like it or not, this is another portion of something that I have to grow into. So I guess if there's a place for me to screw it up, this is a good spot to do it.
Amen.
All right, so what I'm going to do, if you got a Bible, let's go to Matthew 23:23. And this is really basic stuff, man. Everybody, you know, we should probably know this, but I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to shine some light on some stuff for you. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and to live the other undone." So the first thing I want to point out is he said, hey, look, your money's good, but it ain't that good.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that God owns a cattle on a thousand hill. Therefore, our money is so that God can attach something to our lives. You know, we give because God says we need to give. We give 10% because God says we need to give 10%. But Jesus said, hey, there's things that you could have done that would have been much better for you to have done. Are you guys with me? What did he say? He said, judgment, mercy, and faith. See, this year in particular, I've set myself because I want to experience and get revelation of God's mercy at a whole new level. Sometimes I think, well, that sounds pretty childish. It does. That's why I'm doing it. Because the Bible says we need to have a childlike faith.
Amen.
And we need to go after God in those areas. So when I think about this, the first thing, because this week I was reading a lot about Hezekiah, and I realized, and it just hit me while I was sitting here, I am a lot like him. Because, see, his fathers didn't follow after God the way that he followed after God. Because as soon as he took the throne, I think he was 25 years old when he took his throne, you know, he ripped down all the groves and he tore out all this stuff. And he said, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. He consecrated the temple. He consecrated the priests. He reestablished the order. And he was also involved in that. But then he turned around and said, God, these people have came to the birth, but they don't have strength to get through. It's like, well, that didn't make no sense. No, it wasn't supposed to. But I just wanted to share that with you, because whenever you end up in a situation, I'm telling you, hands down, sow your way out. Sow your way out. Mm-hmm. You can get to the birth, but I promise you, you might not get through it unless you come up with a way to sow your way out of it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, I know. That's why we're talking about it, because You got to get this, man. I'm telling you. And my wife, she used to get so mad at me when we first got saved. And I told her, I said, I'm going to tithe. I made $400 every 2 weeks. That was it. That was all I made. I had $20 left to my name. And she used to get so mad because half the time I didn't usually use that $20 for anything she wanted. It usually found its way in an offering bucket. But God has increased us significantly. And now I tithe 2 to 3 times over what I make in a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, everything's seed. But on top of that, mercy is still seed. Pastors have taught us about that. Mercy is still seed. Judgment is still seed. You know, I've heard some people talk about it. They're like, hey, you know, they don't believe in tithing. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, it works. But they're like, I don't believe in tithing. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And they're like, but, you know, I just asked God, is this seed or is it bread? And I'm like, buddy, everything's seed. I don't care what it is. I actually just grabbed a hold of that at Christmas time. I was throwing all kinds of things out of my studio, just like, yeah, man, I'll sow this here, I'll sow this here, sow this here. And I started to get returns back on that. But I'd also challenge you that if your seed, you know, because we have a tithe. And if I understand it correctly, I believe that a tithe and a seed are two different things. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Because God's also revealed to me that there's 3 layers of fasting. We've got fasting that keeps us. We've got fasting that breaks things off of us. And then we've got fasting that moves for us. Mm-hmm. So on top of those 3 things, God's like, hey, look, this is tithing. This is a reasonable service. What did Paul say? He said, this is a reasonable service for you to present yourself holy and unblemished. He said, this is reasonable. So God says, this tithe is reasonable. He already gave it to you to begin with. And then he says, then there's seed. Me and my wife just sowed a seed, and I had to kick myself because the seed was very challenging for us to have sown, and I didn't sow it when the first time came around to do so. And, you know, I was really getting tore up by it, and I actually reached out to Pastor Phil, and I was like, I really need to get this done. Can you help me make sure this goes where it's supposed to go? He said, yeah, I'll help you. And so, you know, that God got that taken care of, and I'm thankful for that because God's been releasing on that seed ever since. So there's a difference between seed and tithe. So I know I got really heavy on that money side of it because it's like, well, why did you talk about faith and judgment and all these other things if we weren't even going to talk about that? Well, we're going to talk about it real quick. Judgment, mercy, faith. let's get some participation. Repeat that to me. Judgment,
mercy,
and faith. Just as much, and I believe this wholeheartedly, just as much as God wants us to give financially and be involved in these different areas, and God wants us to do judgment, mercy, and faith equally. This isn't something that's just, oh, well, you know, I don't like them. Not you, John. I like you. You're all right. But it's like, I don't like them. So I'm not going to exercise those things for them today. Well, that's not what the word says you're supposed to do. Trust me, I've been in that situation a few times. I've had to exercise those areas. But at the end of it, he said these were more important. You know, and I'm grateful for where God's taken us, and I'm grateful for where God's brought us. I mean, look at where we're at.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, man, and I know as far as the money thing goes, it's like, you know, I don't think me and my wife have bought clothes for our kids in 10 years. I'm dead serious. We have not bought clothes for them unless we wanted to, because I mean, God just provided it. It was just there. But I think it's also important that we remember that judgment, mercy, and faith are equally, they're not under.
Amen.
They're equally as important as anything else that you're going to do. So you're probably thinking like, well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'll shut up and I'll go ahead and pray.
Amen.
You can bring the buckets up here. But it's just a nugget for you guys to think about. I want you guys to really chew on some of that, because I'd spend a half hour up here and then Pastor Phil's going to preach and we don't need all that. So
yeah.
Go ahead, bring those buckets up here wherever they're hiding at. I don't know where they're at. Where are they hiding at? Oh, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for this day of celebration. God, we thank you that you've brought us, God, in 10 years, the things that you've done for us, God, and the stories of the people that are here, God, the testimonies that are here. God, I pray today, God, that as people bring their tithes, God, their offerings, Lord, that they would remember judgment and mercy, God, and faith, God, Lord, that they're equally to be performed alongside of the other things that you've given us, God. Lord, don't let those things depart from us. God, Proverbs 3 says Proverbs 3 and 4 talks about how if we would bind wisdom and knowledge around us, God, it would keep us. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that even as those things are bound around us, God, that mercy and judgment and faith are bound around us as well. God, that they keep us, God, Lord, that they direct us. Father, I thank you for it, and we just give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell one more story. Yeah, I might need your mic. And I'm going to call upon a young lady to come up here and just share this moment with me. Amy Murphy. Amy, come up here. I'll never forget that when we first came to Kenton, the very first week we were here,
oh, yes.
I received a phone call on Thursday. Now, here's what was so interesting. When we first came, we were meeting on Sundays only. We'd do a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. But we had already determined that Thursday night was going to be our midweek service. And so the very first week, I preached the first Sunday. And someone had the audacity to call me on Thursday and say, hey, I'm a member of Only Believe in Kenton, Ohio. And someone was going to the hospital and they had a prayer need. But I just thought I would come up here and let her share from her side of it a little bit of that moment when we first came here.
Don't really know what to say, but when we first started, I was praying for a church. And I told my husband, I said, I'm going to pray for a church. I don't want to go to a church where I know everybody in the congregation. I don't know the pastor's life. And I started praying. I told God, you're going to have to bring somebody to my door or send me something in the mail. And that week, I received a flyer in the mail inviting me to Only Believe, and we started out the fairgrounds.
Amen.
I'm here today.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, what's so funny about that is that that first moment when I was already thinking about this, and I have no idea why. I just had it in my heart. I thought, man, maybe I should do Membership Sunday on our second Sunday. And I thought, that's crazy. But then when I got that phone call that said after one Sunday, hey, I'm a member of Only Believe, I thought, hey, we need to do membership. So the second Sunday, we had a Membership Sunday, and 38 people came and started out that second Sunday as members of Only Believe. Amen. And we are still here today by the power of God. And so I think this morning I'm just going to preach to you on what the Lord put in my heart. And I'm just going to tell you that my message and my theme for this next coming up few services I'm going to preach is going to be that stay the same. Stay the same. I want you to know that the Bible says that your Father in heaven says what? I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, with that being said, I want you to know something, that our Father is just unfolding himself day after day after day. Amen. The Bible says that every day his mercies are renewed, that we are not consumed. I also want you to know that this earth is still unfolding under the power of God. This earth used to support millions of people. Now it supports billions of people. Amen. And I want you to know something, that the world back in the days used to think that the end of God's resources would happen and that this earth wouldn't be able to contain humanity, but that's not their business, is it? The Father says, I own a cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. And the earth is mine and the people thereof. Amen? So I want you to understand something, that we're going to concentrate on staying the same, but that also does not alleviate us from the responsibility of growing in God. Amen? No, no, no. We just heard through a song this morning out of 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says what? We change from glory to glory. In other words, we are saved, and I thank God that we have our home in heaven, but also the Bible says that when we start out in salvation, we are like children that desire the sincere milk of the word, amen? But the Bible also requires that we grow up and start accepting the strong meat of the word, amen? And we also know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says that when I was a child, I spoke like a child, but when I grew up, I had to change all that, amen? I also want you to know that the Bible says that there are things that God used to wink at or overlook in our behavior as young Christians, but there is a responsibility from God that requires us to continually change. Amen? You know, that young man that was up here giving the offering one day, he called me and he said, Pastor Phil, I don't understand. And I said, why? What's wrong? He said, well, he said, you know, sometimes I still get angry and this, that, and the other. He said, but this week I acted in some ways that I've done even since I've been saved. He said, and before I felt like God was okay with it, but I don't think God is okay anymore. And I said, hallelujah, praise God. He said, why are you saying that? I said, because it's time for you to man up, big boy. He's not okay. Oh, come on. Woo! See, even though we're going to talk about staying the same, I want you to know that when I talk to you about staying the same, I'm talking about the fact that while the world is changing and while all these things are coming under scrutiny and while people are changing positions on what they believe about right and wrong and this, that, and the other, I want you to understand that we who are part of the church remain the same. We don't change with the winds of the air. We don't change in what's popular in today. What we do is make the determination that if God's word said it, we stick to it, we believe it, and we honor it. Amen? Woo! Yeah, I want us to understand something, that in the middle of while the world is accepting change, We're not the ones that accept change, amen? We are the ones who said, listen, if the word of God says it, I believe it, and I stick to it, amen? I want you to know something, that the world has some kind of thinking out there that other religions and other ways are going to get them to the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know that's a bold-faced lie. I want you to know that every person is not automatically saved and going to heaven. No, no, no. I want you to know that the path is narrow. There's one way to the kingdom of God, and that is through Jesus Christ and his blood and receiving him as our Lord and Savior and being willing to stand up and say, I deny all other religions, I deny all other ways. I put my trust solely in Jesus because that is where my salvation comes from. Amen? Woo! I want us to understand something, that the Lord says that it is his way and nobody else's way. You know, I heard someone say, well, I don't like the idea of a jealous God. I don't care what you like. I don't care what your opinion is. The Lord is jealous over those things that he carved in concrete. Why? Because it's the only way for humanity to be safe. It's the only way that he can guarantee that you can come into salvation and have eternal life. Amen? I want you to know that the things that God is convicted over are things that bring us into life and blessing. Amen? And I just want to remind you of something, because I just feel like in today's environment, it is always important for us to establish the fact that we don't have to be fearful. Amen? We don't have to be afraid, even though there's things going around us every day that can seem fearful and look bad. I want you to know that God has spoken to the generations over the years, and he will continue to speak, and he will continue to be a place of safety and protection for us. And I thank God that today I'm just looking at one scripture in Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, I didn't know that he was going to do it, but Brother Bob Hoover came up here and told you about the challenge that he has going on in his life right now. And it's just so amazing, because just this week I was remembering a pastor that if I told you his name, you would know him. He's world-renowned. He speaks. He's got a TV program and all this kind of stuff. But I want you to know that he had a battle himself with cancer. And I want you to know he overcame that battle. I want you to know that he's healed. And I want you to know that he's preaching the gospel. But I just want to share with you, even though I've never had the experience, I just want to share with you the perspective that he's had. He said, first of all, he said, you know, the amazing thing is, he says, I was amazed at some of the questions I got. And he said, you know, some of the things that amazed me was that someone came up to me and said, my goodness, you're a pastor and you got cancer? And he said, I had to remind them that absolutely I'm a pastor. But I also have the responsibility of humanity. Woo! And I want you to know something, that the Lord just infused me with this right in the middle of what he was talking about. He said, the other thing was, he says that someone came up to me and said, you're a pastor. Were you ever scared? You know, because he's healed now. Woo! He's healed. He's beat the battle. He beat the big C word. He has nothing in his body of cancer. I want you to know that he's not the only one who I know about this. I want you to know that right before we came here in 2010, I was really thinking about, Lord, am I ever going to be a pastor again? And I got to tell you something. I got a phone call from a young man's sister who I had helped get saved at the place where I worked at the time. And I tell you what, I had just done an evangelistic preaching on a subject where I said, you know, God says that, you know, that we need to believe in him, amen? But I want you to know that one time the Lord spoke to me that I believe in you. And I just got done preaching this message, and the young lady heard it, called me, said, would I come and pray for her because she had a brain tumor. And guess what? We cursed that thing, and that brain tumor died, and she's still shouting the glory today. Amen? Amen. But I said that to say this to you because I want you to understand something, that the Bible even addresses this, and he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen? But we forget the other side of the scripture that says that the same afflictions that overtake your brethren in the world without God do not have to overtake us. Oh, come on now. See, the Bible says this, that I thank my God that the same afflictions that the world faces doesn't have to be accomplished in our lives. Amen? And I tell you what, that's why we can rest in the Lord. That's why we can pursue the Lord. That's why we look to the Lord for salvation. That's why we look for the Lord for deliverance. That's why we look to the Lord for healing. That's why the Bible says that when it comes to us being people in need, are we supposed to come backwards into the Lord? Are we supposed to come begging and hoping and flipping a coin that say, God, if you will or maybe? No. The Bible says that when it comes to our approach to God, we should come boldly through the throne of grace, knowing that we will receive mercy in our time of need. Amen? We cannot forget the fact that the Bible says that we must come to him and know that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Amen? But that scripture says that we must know him. Come on. Why must we know God? Because we must know who he is, what his nature is, and if we know that, then guess what? We know who he will be to us. And I want to remind you again, fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is what the Lord is saying to us today. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, I love it because I love it when I can reference the Old Testament and find these scriptures, but then also I can reference the New Testament and find the same foundation in a scripture in the New Testament. Why? Because he's the same. Praise God. Why? Because he's still God. Amen? Why? Because he is the God that was, he is the God that is, and he's the God that will be. Amen? I want you to know that if God has ever intervened in the life of humanity, God will intervene for you. Amen? I want you to know something. If you can ever look in the scripture and find a time that the Lord God healed, set free, delivered, then you can rejoice because that is the God who is with thee now. Yes. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I might be a little stirred up today. Of course, I think I'm a little stirred up all the time. Amen. Praise God. I want to read to you out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2 because we're going to discover some things here that God is saying to us. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, right away in verse 1, he says that he will quicken us. But I want to get to verse 4 and say this. But God, woo! That means right now. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, I want you as a Christian to get a revelation that you are living on this earth, that your physical being is here, but I want you to know something, that right now you are also there with him. Amen? I want you to know that you are on a journey to heaven, but right now you are already a part of heaven. Amen? I want you to know that the Bible tells us that we are part of the household of faith of those saints who have went before us and those saints who are looking for us to join ourselves with them. Amen? And I want you to know something, that while you are on this earth, you are receiving help from the supernatural realm of God. Remember, the Bible says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And I want you to know something, that when we start participating in God's will, we are going to start allowing his kingdom to come and be prevalent in our life. Amen? I want you to know something, that when we start walking with God, when we start using our faith, when we start reading the scriptures, when we start praying, when we start doing those things that are God assignments in our life, I promise you that you will see the supernatural intervention of God. Amen? And that's why I'm telling you that each of us need to remain the same today. I tell you what, if we're not careful, the world will distract us because we act like we should be doing something different because of the cultural sensitivities of today. We act like we should be doing something different. No, I want you to know something, that what we need to do is keep the gospel in our heart. We need to be giving our testimony. We need to be praying for people. We need to be preaching Jesus, and we need to be living so that people can see Christ in our life. I tell you what, isn't it amazing that the Lord himself brings things down to our level all the time? He says that in this world, when things are happening, what is his expectation? That you live in such a way that when people need hope, they're asking you why you got it. Woo! My goodness. I tell you what, in the middle of all this going on, somebody should be able to come to you and say, you know what? I've been afraid, but I see you are filled with joy. I've been worried and nervous, but I just see it seems like you're still laughing. You still have hope. It seems like you're still upbeat. You're still positive. I want to know, what is that? And guess what? You ought to be able to tell them about Jesus. Amen. I'll never forget one time I worked at a place and parts of it was shutting down and closing up. And there was a boss and he said, Philip, I need you to come to my office. And I thought, oh, no, what did I do? Who went complaining this time, amen? Who went complaining this time? And I sat down in his office. He said, Philip, I don't understand it. He said, you got to tell me. He said, everybody else is stressed. Everybody else is in fear because our jobs are leaving. He said, I need to know, what is this with you that here at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're walking around here singing and all this other stuff. I hear that you whistle at 5 a.m. I hear that you're in here walking around here singing and everybody else is stressed. What is this about you? And I said, well, I said, I don't really want to tell you. He said, oh, you're going to tell me. I said, okay, but you got to be willing to be accountable. And he said, Okay, yes, I still want to know. I said, it's Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. I said, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for where we work, and I'm thankful for how it's helped take care of my family. I want you to know, but this job is not my identity, nor is it my salvation, nor is it my liberty, nor is it my hope for the future. I thank God for this job, but my hope is in Jesus. And I tell you what, the Bible says that the diligent shall prosper. So even if you close your doors tomorrow, I'm going to wake up, and God's going to give me a direction, and I'm just going to go where he tells me to go. Amen. Woo. See, I want you to know something, that God is with us and we've got to join in to what he has for us. See, this scripture says that he's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, I want you to know something. Through every generation and through the survival of the world, the foundation is that Jesus and the love of God has been in the hearts of those who have prayed and carried a burden until the next generation takes over. Amen. I want you to know something, that I'm just so crazy that this week I was praying and I said, Lord, I pray that the biggest traffic day in America is Sunday morning. And not because I want people going on vacation or just going to the gas station. I want the biggest traffic day because I want it to be the day that people all over America would come out of their houses and take themselves to the sanctuary and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Woo! I want you to know something, that God wants to be working in our life. Now listen to me. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Oh, come on. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, my goodness. Boy, we got to take some accountability there, but I got to build us up just for a minute. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I want you to know something, that our works are not what gets us into heaven. Amen. But if you've truly been saved, your works should change and they should reflect Jesus. Amen? Oh, come on. We're going to land there, but I just got to go here just for a minute. You know, just this week, I had someone ask me and they said, well, when it comes to fighting battles, how do I know what battles I'm supposed to fight and what battles God is supposed to fight? Are you kidding me? Didn't he just say, I'll never leave you? Doesn't the scripture say, I can only do all things through Christ who gives me strength? See, that's your problem, Christians. You're trying to assign yourself to some of your life, and you're trying to assign God to those parts of your life. I want you to back up right now and get your nose out of your own business and step back and in every area say, there is no battle that I'm going to fight on my own, because the Bible says that always in all times I should be triumphant in Christ Jesus, but I never fight on my own because I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because I let him come in and do the battle for me. Amen? I tell you what, you need to spend more time doing. You need to spend more time repenting and resisting yourself and resisting your own desire to do it, and let yourself be humbled, because the Bible says that if any man or woman will humble themselves in God, then he will exalt you in due season. Amen? Woo! Praise God. So let's just get that notion out of our mind. See, because if we think we have battles to fight on our own, before you know it, we'll think we have rights to parts of our life on our own. Oh, my goodness. I think I'll pray for God to bless my job and bless my paycheck. But when it comes to my relationships, I'm going to do that on my own the way I want to and how I want to. Oh, no, no, no. Come on. Woo! See, because the Bible says that through the grace of God we're saved. What does that mean? That means that when we open our hearts up, God will come in and heal every area we need healed. Amen? You got a problem with drinking? Read your Bible. You got a problem with addiction, pornography, cussing, fussing, fighting, anger? I'll tell you what, read your Bible and pray, because before you know it, God will take it away. But don't let it stay there. Don't let it exist there. Don't just let it habitate there. Listen, get God involved in every area of your life, because he will help us. Amen? There's no area of our life that God is not supposed to be a part of. Amen? You know, it was amazing, because that pastor said in his testimony that some of it was he just had to get over people's ideas. Because you're a pastor, you shouldn't, or you can't, or why? No, no, no. Listen, sometimes some things come upon us just because of our humanity. Just because we're mortal, amen? But when that happens, more than ever, is when we need to say, I'm going to handle this God's way, amen? I'm going to make sure I make room for the Lord. It's just like Pastor Regina was telling you her story today, and I didn't even know anything was going on because she's just so strong all the time. Amen? She's just filled with faith all the time. And when she told me to come and pray for her, man, that was the first time I realized, hey, wow. But I want you to know something. Let's make sure that every one of us are humble enough to say, when we get to the end of ourselves, we're going to reach towards God and we're going to reach towards faith-filled people to help bring us out. Amen? Amen? This is why I want so much for you to stay the same. Because in today's world, when the world is trying to distract us into all of these other things and all these other places, no, no, no. The most important thing that you're going to do is be available with faith. Be available with love. Be available with prayer. Be available for support one to another. Amen? Because this is what's going to bring us into this place of God's ability to help sustain us. Amen? I just want to share this with you in the book of Romans. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, I'm just going to stop in two places. The first is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. See, don't change. Just because there's things in our world that are under pressure. Remember, even Jesus, when everything was going around his world, and even when his disciples was wondering when he's going to rise up his kingdom, and they were thinking that there was going to be a war between Jesus and the King Caesar at the time, and they were seeing all this thing in their natural efforts. You know, all this stuff isn't anything new. They were thinking this way and this way. The Lord said to them, hey, I must be about my Father's business. See, you need to make sure that more than ever in today's world, you are about your Father's business. What is that? Helping captives be set free, bringing forth the gospel, getting people saved, and being there to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover. Amen? And so then, I got to read this to you right here because, whew, I just feel the goodness of God in this right here. And I want you to know that in this scripture, it talks about some things here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, this man is sitting there saying, hey, will anything in this world separate you from the love of God? Will persecution, will all the things going on, will the distractions of this world overcome you, overtake you? But then it says, nay, no, no. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Woo! For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Kick the devil out of your conversation. Kick him out. Stop it. The devil cannot stop you from moving forward in this life. The devil has no authority to slow you down, stop you, or distract you. Quit giving him so much credit and start saying, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to overcome the challenges of this life because my God is with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me, and I'm not going to move to the left or the right. I'm going to stay the same. I'm going to stand on the word of Christ Jesus, and I'm going to see the outcomes that only God can bring to pass. Woo! I tell you what, let's make sure that we don't allow the devil to overplan his hand in our life. This world can bring difficulty against you, and it will. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord. Woo! See, sometimes we want to emphasize the afflictions, and we forget that we're supposed to look beyond the beginning to the end where the Lord comes and brings us out. Amen? I want you to remember that it says none of these things, present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let's stay the same, amen? Let's make sure that whether it becomes unpopular to be a Christian, even if it comes under scrutiny or even if people start to dislike the idea of being Christians, let's make sure that we stay the same. Because I tell you what, for yourself and for them, whether they know it or not, your salvation is a help. Woo-hoo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, one day I had to come to the realization that when I was backslidden and not living right, my mama would call me every now and then and give me a stern little talking to. Praise God. At the time, I didn't like what my mama had to say, but I will tell you that in my mid-20s, I had to call my mom and tell her, Mom, I thank you that you never changed. I thank you that you kept praying for me. I thank you that you loved God, and even when I had a snotty nose and a not-so-good mouth, that you overlooked all of that and kept declaring who I was going to be in God. And I thank you for it, Mom, because your prayers have helped me until I can stand up and man up on the strength that should be in my life. Amen? So I want you to know something, that don't you ever back up on who you are. I don't care if people get sick of hearing you. You know, you might have a few relatives like, oh, gosh, here they go. Here comes that faith stuff. I mean, you might have some people at work. I don't even want to see them. Boy, I'll never forget. I had a man come into my office, and he slammed the door one day, and he said, Walker, I just want to talk to you. And I said, what? He said, how can you be this happy all the time? He said, does your wife ever yell at you? I said, yes, she was yelling at me this morning. Woo! He said, do you ever not have money? I said, yes, there's things I can't buy. He says, do you ever have difficulties? I said, yes, there is. He said, well, then what is it, Walker? Why do you have this smile all the time? Jesus. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's walk in his authority, and let's walk in his goodness. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory. God, we give you all honor, all glory, all praise, God. Father, we know that of ourselves, we can do and we would be nothing, Father. But Lord, with you, that all changes, God. God, it all changes when you save us, when you make us your seed and your children, Father. You bring us into the inheritance that can only come through the blood and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I declare it and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God, right now, God, if there's anybody in here who's not saved and you say, Pastor Philip, I want salvation. I want to know the Lord more. And you just haven't been walking with God, but you want to. If that's you, just lift your hand this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, if someone's watching us today on live stream and you're out there and you say, Pastor Phil, I'm not saved, but I want to be, I'm just going to pray with you right now. Father, just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you that you went to the cross and died for me, that I could be forgiven and I could live forever. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now just say this with me. The Lord is my Savior.
The Lord is my Savior.
I got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right now, we're just going to put some prayer requests before the Lord. And Father, right now, we just pray, God, for Kansas and for her baby father. And Lord, we just pray blessing, God, that both of them would come to healing, to just a sound place, Father, where life would just be established, God. And Lord, we just thank you for it and declare it in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I pray for Jennifer, God, over this sprained ankle, God, that, Father, you would cause all pain and swelling to go, Father. Lord, that she would be healed, God. And Father, that she'd be able to work and walk and do all those things that need to be done. And Father, we pray for Kim right now, Father. We break this sickness that's been upon her, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that supernaturally you are turning this around, God, and that she's healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, I pray for Nathan, God, that, Father, you would just release healing into his body, Father. Lord, that you would clear up these lungs, Father. Lord, that he could breathe, that, God, you would restore him. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for Lita, Father, that this baby that is sick would come to wholeness, Father. Lord, I command all sickness to leave this child, God. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, Brother Bob Hoovler, can you come up here, my friend? Whew. Hallelujah. And we went to the doctor and we heard what they had to say. Okay. And we're just thankful, Bob, that doctors can discover things and help us so we know how to pray before the Lord. And I will tell you, Father, that I just feel that the Father is speaking, that he's heard what you said and what you put before him. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, now God, we just curse, God, this diagnosis, Father. Lord, we curse this cancerous lump and this liquid that's developed, Father, in this lung. And Father, we just curse it at the root, Father God. We command all of that, God, in the name of Jesus, to come out, Father God. We loose the working of miracles and healing, Father God. Just regenerate every cell, Father. And Lord, just like you did for that young lady with brain cancer, Father, Lord, I pray that as Bob goes through this process, Father, that, Lord, he'd be so restored, God, that, Father, they wouldn't even be able to tell that this was ever in his body, Father. Now, Lord, we just pray your blessing over him, God, and that when he goes even to this next appointment, Father, there's going to be a supernatural change, Father. And, Lord, we just thank you that he's healed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of another young man that got healed. In our other building, I'll never forget that he came to me and he had a lump on his throat and he had to get surgery for it. And so he went to the appointment and it got canceled. And they said, hey, you got some blood pressure issues going on and some other stuff. And he told me that and I said, hallelujah, that's good news. He said, what? He said, what? I mean, he got mad at me. And I said, well, what I mean is that this is an opportunity for us to pray. And this is an opportunity for us to wrap our faith around this thing. And it was amazing because he went back the next time and they said, well, it's so much smaller than it was before. We don't understand it, but it's smaller. And then they told him that he was going to have a 6-month recovery time to use his voice and maybe up to 2 years before he could ever use his voice. And he was in school at Ohio State and he wanted to sing in their quartet that they had. And I tell you what, he got so healed that within 2 months, he went out for the quartet, and guess what? He was singing before the Lord again. Amen? And I tell you what, God is in the healing business and the restoration business. Amen? Praise God. Well, I just want to thank you for being here this morning, and we thank God for this 10-year journey that we're just really beginning. And I want to remind you that 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be here to celebrate. And we are going to have some snacks and some good stuff to go along with it. Amen. But we're going to be here at 6, and I look forward to seeing each and every one of you. God bless you. Have a great day.